The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
Welcome to the Radio Today weekly podcast. I'm Trevor Dan. You find us, well, where else? But in Salford at Media City. There's the new ITV building with its big Coronation Street signs. There's Six Music. There's BBC Five Live and CBeebies. There's the Imperial War Museum. But where we're going is the Lowry, the now regular venue for the Radio Festival. It's Radfest 14. Let's go inside and meet some of the delegates.
Steve Austin's editor of BBC Radio Wales. I think it's been a pretty good year so far. I think we've seen some really inspirational stuff. Sir Tim Smith yesterday. I thought Ben Cooper's presentation this morning was excellent. Really lovely to hear the thoughts on the feature of news this morning. And actually, I thought the cabaret last night was a real refreshing change from kind of gala dinners, which have gone on in a bit, and all of that.
I think there's a real sense of positivity, don't you? I think sometimes the radio festival's got bogged down with, oh God, you know, it's all going wrong and DAB and all that really quite negative stuff. I really get a sense that we're grasping and indeed glimpsing the future.
I think there's a lot of energy. I sense that across the country as a whole, really. I do sense that actually people feel that we're coming out of the other side of that kind of that slump that we had 4 or 5 years ago, and I think radio is kind of reflecting that at the moment. And yeah, there is positivity, there is energy, there are really, really strong ideas, and yeah, it can only be good for us.
Rick Blackstill's here, an award winner from last night. You must be feeling very proud. Congratulations.
I am feeling very proud. It was a real honour, and I still can't get over it, to be honest. Still a bit overwhelmed.
What do you make of the event? There's, as usual, not quite so many commercial radio people as we'd like, but a few.
Yeah, I think it's it's good to get a good kind of cross-section of people here, and I think the calibre of the speakers this year and the sessions has been amazing, and I know the committee put a lot of hard work into moving it forward, and I think when you see what's coming out the stage and just the coverage that the event's getting, you know, in terms of press and online, you know, it's definitely a big positive step forward for the radio industry.
Couple of highlights?
Iggy Pop, I would have thought everybody would have said that, but an absolute legend with some, you know, incredible views on, you know, music and broadcasting, so that was a real highlight for me.
And Jez Nelson was just on stage talking about independent producers, and you're starting to work a bit more with the independent sector at Bauer.
Yeah, I think we definitely are, and I've worked with various independent groups, you know, across my career as well, and the benefit of working with those guys is always immense. They've always made things better, so I'm a real supporter of independent production, and if Bauer, you know, can move forward with some indies, that's really good.
Thanks a lot, Rick. See you at the Emirates.
Yeah, gooners.
John Rossborough, Belfast FM, yet to go on air. Highlights, I was interested in the Ed Vasey session because I've been following the whole DAB promotion. One thing he did say was that reception would be better than analog. Maybe so, but in my car I like to listen to stereo. And a lot of the DAB stations, certainly on Digital One, are not stereo. I was fascinated by his style. In fact, there were shades of Boris in there. Can I say that?
You have done, John. It's a nice event, though, isn't it, this year, don't you think? A lot of people are saying it's an optimistic and energetic atmosphere.
Yes, I think it's a cosy festival. There don't seem to be just hordes of people, so you can always spot people from a distance, which is not too far.
I'm Rolf Brandrud from Radio Days Europe, and I'm here to spy on Radio Festival to see what is the great things you have.
What do you think of it so far, then, as an event? I mean, it's I think a little more relaxed than Radio Days Europe, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's the British humour has quite some place here, in, you know, both the introductions and the style of the speakers and so on. It's different in Britain and Germany and other countries.
People are saying that there's a lot more positivity around than there was 2 or 3 years ago.
I think so, yes. And I like this festival better than the previous one I've been to. It seems like it's a new energy in creating the festival. And I just came from the session about the Brits Awards. And it was fantastic to hear all they have done there. And a panel of young people on scene, one who were most into beauty and and cosmetics, but obviously had many good points around, well, you have to listen to your audience and tune to them. And like one of this beauty queen were saying that I have to feel what is what the program wants and what is what I want, and I can't compromise my personality because my audience won't like that. But when it fits together, it works good, and obviously it did.
Thank you, Ralph. We'll see you in Milan.
Yes, you too.
Liz Carney, head of programs at Radio 2. And I've enjoyed everything from the start, really. I thought Iggy Pop was an ingenious booking for the BBC Music Lecture. I thought he was incredibly charming and very warm, great insight and great stories. So I would say that that is the thing I've enjoyed most so far. But also last night's Wrecking Ball Cabaret, hosted by Michael Ball, was a great step forward, I thought, from the previous very lengthy dinners. I thought, finally, we've got something that's not quite as long to give away a lot of very well-deserved awards and represent some talent that hopefully cover all the radio stations that are participating here.
People are saying that there's a bit more energy and a bit more positivity than for the last few years. It feels as though we're coming out of our slough of despond.
I think that's true, but I think the whole country is. I mean, the economy is a little bit better, and that just transfers itself into every part of our life, really. People are feeling a bit more up, a bit more excited. I think that, you know, the success of radio is incredible at the moment, both on the BBC and the commercial sector as well. I mean, everyone's doing pretty well. So hopefully that's helped make this festival a great one.
It's Phil Critchley here. I'm standing right in front of Gloria, so this puts me at a bit of a disadvantage in terms of being objective.
I'm going. It's not fair on
you. We'll be on later, though.
Yeah, okay.
Really nice,
I'm sure. Well, I can't imagine anybody saying anything nasty. Not about me, anyway.
And certainly not about the festival.
And not about the festival. The festival has been brilliant.
Absolutely right.
I think the highlight for me was knowing that you were about to find out you were going to be a fellow. And just that moment when you realised, I could feel, when you realised that it was you they were talking about, when Bob Shannon was talking about you, what was that like?
It was very strange. It's very out of body. I was, in fact, sitting just behind Trevor, and I won't repeat the expletive because it would be inappropriate in front of a microphone.
Can I just tell you, because when that happened to me, I had to thank Trevor in my speech.
And, how embarrassing.
And I had to actually thank him, so at least you didn't have to do that.
Right, go away, you're on later. Phil, the RIG session, Jez Nelson's speech about what the independent sector is trying to achieve in its relationship with the BBC, I saw a lot of BBC cheeses in a bit of a huddle at the end of it. That might have been good news.
I think so. I think the main thing about the session was it was balanced, it was objective, but it certainly has set the agenda in a clearer way than I think we've ever done before.
So in a nutshell, what is RIG seeking from the BBC?
It's seeking a dialogue, first and foremost, and we believe, you know, we've already started that process, and we need quickly now to sit down and talk about some of the things that Jez put in his speech, which is very much from a RIG perspective. I mean, it was something that all the RIG board signed up to and were in agreement with. So again, I think there's a bit of a sea change in that now we're speaking with one voice, which gives the BBC clarity, which I think will help them, and gives us clarity, which will certainly help us.
So we're saying it's now 10% by hours and a further 10% in the WOC that we can all bid for, also by hours, but what we're wanting now is 10% of value, 10% of the BBC's radio network spend, and we'd like that to go up to 25%.
That's right, yeah, and all fully understanding that this isn't something you can click your fingers and make it happen overnight. You know, we fully accept that there are huge operational challenges to meet where that's concerned, but we obviously believe passionately that actually meeting those operational challenges and dealing with them is in the best interest of the listener. So you know, growing and you know, the hours versus value is an issue, because I guess all we're saying is that a fair proportion of the budget that goes into various production areas, one of which is indie, allows those areas to grow and flourish and to do a variety of radio. You know, every production area needs to be able to do a variety of radio so that things feed off other things, and I guess that's all we're really asking for. But fundamentally, going back to the trust, the fundamental thing is the best ideas regardless of source. No one's asking for a free ride. What we're saying is is give everybody, not just the existing indies. I think Jez made a very good point saying that there are people who will be coming into our market who we'll have to compete with. And fine, you know.
Exciting times for radio. After a few years of us sitting around feeling a bit unhappy about being in a declining industry, it doesn't feel like that this year.
No, it doesn't. And I think the changes which Ben was talking about in his very good speech this morning around Radio 1 and the new audiences for radio present us with a huge opportunity. I mean, one of the things I didn't say and kind of regret saying at the end of my speech last night is the best thing about radio actually is the future. And I'm not just saying that, that's not a glib statement, I honestly believe that. You know, we have an opportunity as an industry here to get together, completely together, commercial radio, BBC radio, internal, external, and actually define what radio is going to look like in 20 years. If we don't do that, it could go really badly wrong, but we have the opportunity and we should take it.
My name's Dom Chambers. I'm the chair of the Community Media Association. We've been invited here by the Radio Academy to deliver a spotlight session. And I've just tweeted, all power to the Radio Festival, forgetting where community media is going in a landscape that's traditionally been occupied by the BBC and commercial networks. So I'm really grateful to the Radio Festival. But I think that the buzz, just as a general observation, the buzz of the festival is extraordinary. How many times have we heard, has radio got a future? Were they not saying that back when Bird was developing his little machines back in the 1930s? Different things come along to challenge our industry, different technologies, different platforms of delivery.
You came up with some really interesting figures about how many people actually listen to community radio.
Yeah, I said the number 9 million, right, listening to community radio per week, almost as a provocation. That is what we believe, and we are going to do some academic research to back that up. And one of the jobs of the Community Media Association is to speak for those deliverers of community media and those audiences. And it's been great to have had an opportunity to do precisely that at the Radio Festival 2014.
And you had a big announcement to make, didn't you, about working with the BBC?
Yes, we're launching a national initiative, which is really exciting. The BBC CMA News Day, or Media Day, is going to be in February next year, 2015. It will be the first time that there's been a national strategy around cooperation between the community media sector of broadcasting and the BBC. And all I can say at this moment in time, been brilliant to announce that at the Radio Festival. Watch this space. There's more information to follow.
I'm sure we'll talk about it very soon.
Excellent.
My name is Tim Johns. I'm a producer and reporter on The Jeremy Vine Show on BBC Radio 2. And I've very much enjoyed the festival. I've never been to the Radio Festival ever before. And lots of food for thought. Most notably for me, probably Sir Tim Smith. I bet a few other people have said that as well. You know, radio, especially our show, it's all about, is he a good speaker? Is she a good speaker? We're booking guests when we're thinking. And he is one of the best speakers I've ever seen. So just a pleasure to see him talk without notes, have the audience in the palm of his hand, the way he delivers his talk, just that, let alone the message of his talk, which was great as well, but just to see such a great speaker is food for thought in itself. So it was a delight. In the programme, I didn't even know he was coming on. I just liked the thing he was going to talk about, which was about optimism and, you know, too much gloomy news. A surprise and a pleasure and a great, great session.
You're one of the 30 under 30, so congratulations for that. One of the themes of the festival, I think, has been that we must stop thinking of ourselves as radio in a silo, and that you know, we must do visuals and we must do online and we must do all those things, and they're not just stuff that we bolt on. They're integral parts of what we do. I first came across you from your rather silly and very low-budget videos. Do you think of yourself as a radio person or as a multimedia content creative?
Zero budget, I should say. About 5 years ago, I thought I should really teach myself how to edit video if I want to be a radio journalist. And so the two, I think, you can't avoid the fact they're linked. I actually, for someone who's all about the Twitter and the Facebook and the, you know, videos and whatnot, I probably would say, first and foremost, I'm absolutely a radio person. I love radio, and that's why I got into the trade, and I very much think of everything I do as radio, and it's the analogue, booking the guests and doing all that nuts and bolts, which comes first and foremost in my mind. I just think to call yourself a radio person now, if you're just starting out, that definition has to include that, oh, by the way, I can do all this stuff and think of that as part of radio as well.
Hi, I'm Dick Stone. I'm Group Program Director for Smooth and Managing Editor for Capital East Midlands, and that's all the hats that I'm wearing. Yeah, been good fun at the Radio Festival, really. I really enjoyed Sir Tim Smith yesterday, who I thought was very inspirational. It was just a fantastic session, absolutely fantastic, and not at all as it was billed. I wasn't really expecting anything particularly, and I was blown away by it. I thought it was brilliant.
I don't know whether you saw Martha Lane Fox, but that was also really inspiring, and it made you think, as it were, out the box, but about more than just radio.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, on the Monday night. Equally, it was one of those mind-expanding experiences, legal mind-expanding experiences that you get from now every now and then, when you think, yeah, actually, there's something there that I hadn't really sat down and thought about before. And it's good to have that, because you know, that's how our brain works.
Ben Cooper from Radio 1 and One Extra, the chairman of the Radio Academy. Congratulations, everybody, saying that this is one of the best ever. Highlights for you?
Well, I think it started off with Iggy Pop, bare-chested almost, and getting down onto the side of the stage, and just amazing voice, amazing thoughts, and just sort of lit up the room. So I think that was a great start, and I think you're right to say that it's the best one. It's certainly the best I feel that we've ever done as an academy, but I also think it's probably one of the best in the world in terms of festivals this year so far, because I think the level of sort of stimulus and ideas coming from the stage has just really ignited people and really made them feel quite optimistic about the industry. Yes, there are lots of challenges, but there's also lots of opportunities.
I was really interested in your session that you did this morning about things that keep you awake, and I was trying to think about how we might have done a session like that in previous generations of Radio 1 management. And I don't think we would have been as open. And I think that's a refreshing thing, and it's running across the industry now. I think we're far more transparent about what's on our minds.
What I hope I can do as the boss of Radio 1 is almost use the licence fee money that I know is guaranteed coming into us as almost seed capital for the industry. You know, if we can experiment, if we can try things out at Radio 1 and One Extra and they work, well, let's tell the industry about it. That's my view. You know, I love the whole radio industry. I've worked in both BBC and commercial radio, and I think I want the industry to thrive. I want the industry to share its good ideas. I don't think anyone should keep them for themselves.
And the Radio Academy, which you're currently chairing, is a very good vehicle through which you can do that.
Yeah, the Radio Academy, I think, is in great shape with a festival like this. What we need to do, though, is look to the future and make sure that the Radio Academy represents and is fit, if you like, for purpose in this new digital age. Do we represent the industry and what the industry is going through? So that's why, you know, I've asked members for their advice, I've asked members for their thoughts, what does the Academy mean to them, what do they get out of it, and I've also asked the trustees as well for their thoughts, and also sort of a strategic review, if you like, of just a sort of, right, here's where we're at, how do we evolve?
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Radfest 2014 is drawing to its close, and as is becoming customary, I'm sitting here on the ground floor of the Lowry with Stuart Clarkson, who's been working for Radio Today and looking for news lines throughout the conference, and also to our old friend and friend of this podcast, David Lloyd, who's going to pick out some of his moments, if I may say so, from the last couple of days. Let's start with you, David. I mean, I've been saying and hearing from other people, there's a really good optimistic mood, I think, compared to some previous years while we were having a recession.
There's something special about this year's conference. It seems just bigger. It's putting radio on a broader stage, a sort of almost a world stage. And it's almost about, I think, getting people to think in a different way about radio's position in the world. And I know that sounds really grand, and I'm not doing it justice, how the incredible speakers in this year's conference, you know, I mean, some of them, Sir Tim Smith, you know, almost nothing to do with radio, and yet you in your own head applied the inspirational things he said, you know, all the achievements he's done, the Eden Project and everything else. And, you know, you put your own life and your own job and your own radio station in his world and started to consider the art of the possible. It was stunning.
Stuart, what have been the stories that have got people interested on social media?
I think certainly the Hursty session on the final day today, lots of retweets on that. Obviously, we got to see the female look for the first time. A lot of people had heard her on Five Live at the weekend, so it was great for her.
Looking very good.
Yeah, it looked amazing, and great for her to be here in person and on the stage, and a 31-second applause to welcome her on the stage, which is probably a record for the festival this year. There's been a lot of reaction to some things Ed Vasey said on Tuesday. He spoke about the digital dashboard. He spoke about the rollover of licenses, and we're going to probably see, it seems, TalkSport, Classic FM and Absolute getting their licenses rolled over beyond their current expiry date to allow for some decisions on switchover. So that was a very interesting thing that came out of that. There is going to be a consultation on it. But probably our most read story that we've written over the last few days is a story of Ben Cooper going on this pop-up radio station, Challenge Radio, who was also live on Radio 2 at the time. Ken Bruce played Popmaster with him, and he couldn't name any single song by One Direction. Some of the Nationals have picked that up. We put that out there first, and yeah, that's probably the most read and retweeted story.
There's a bloke here from Orion who runs Free Radio in the West Midlands. I wonder how many One Direction songs he knows.
Probably not.
Thank you for that. We got quite a lot of action out of the Kirsty Young interview and the comments about Tom Jones, which I thought was also a really good example of how to do an interview, because Jane Garvey has been brilliant, as has Fee Glover, the co-host. Jay was really good interviewing Kirsty Young. It was just, it wasn't Paxman-esque. It was just, tell me a little bit more, and then we got the killer line.
Yeah, you're telling me news here, because I didn't see
Did
that.
Did you not
session.
See that?
Oh, no. One of the incredible things about this year's conference is there were so many things happening at once. Mm. I mean, not only the two major rooms, but also other things happening. And so you only see half of the festival as a human being.
Well, let's just spend a moment with Kirsty and Tom Jones. What did she say?
Yeah, well, yeah, she kind of eked it out of her, essentially. It was basically Jane and Kirsty, you know, slobbering over Tom Jones on the stage, essentially, and got to the killer line of, I bet he's a killer in the sack. But yeah, there was a good 3 or 4 minutes, and then we paused and we thought we were going to move on to another subject, but we came back to Tom Jones.
I enjoyed the Fighting Talk session. I don't know whether either of you saw that. Did you? No, okay. That was TalkSport versus Five Live, and it was brilliantly done, just very funny, very well made and very well hosted. And there's been a nice mixture of entertainment and the more kind of serious debatey sides.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first day, the TechCon bit of the festival, which, you know, so too few people actually come to, because you really do get insight into the mechanics of radio, and increasingly I think the creative folk need to understand those. They need to understand the platforms. And there was some incredible stuff there about how wearables haven't taken off as they thought, you know, in terms of the, you know, wearing your computer as a watch. And they said that, you know, it's not taken off because it seems rude to keep looking at your watch when you're with someone. It's far more sociable to pick up your phone, you know, just stuff like that. So I think the insight on day one I found particularly useful and interesting.
And there's been some good reaction to the event in the evening, what used to be the gala dinner, which became an event with Michael Ball in Key House, where the BBC is based here at Media City. It was a nice event, wasn't it? And it didn't go on too long.
No, but I thought Michael Ball was a great choice of host to do that. There was a bit of banter with him and some of the guests, and Richard Hawley, who came on to present the awards to Guy Garvey, had some choice words to say about him. I don't think he quite got the amount that Michael Ball was trying to take the piss out of himself a little bit, because he kind of adopted that cabaret style, and actually they were having a bit of a laugh, and I think Richard Hawley took it a bit too seriously. But no, overall I thought that was a much better lighter end to the day. It wasn't too formal, it was a bit more relaxed. We had some stand-up comedy, we had some varying types of performances from a country act, from a rap act. I'd say go with that again next year. It was a refreshing change.
So next year, for those of us who are of a certain age who remember Birmingham, when it was kind of always in Birmingham, wasn't it? And it did need refreshing. Do you think we should think about doing it in a different place?
I think people have got used to Manchester. I think it's working. I wouldn't move it. I, you know, much as I love Nottingham, my hometown, and you spent many years there, Trevor, that festival didn't feel quite right there. But I think here it's great. And, you know, actually changing some of the arrangements as they have the timings and the venues for the evening, that's all good. But, you know, today was, you know, one of the best festivals I've ever been to.
Good to see quite a lot of young people here as well, not just the 30 under 30, but genuinely some companies have allowed some of their younger staff to come. So it wasn't just a management event.
Yeah, and I think there was a lot of young people getting involved with various sessions as well, and helping out with Challenge Radio and some of the production staff on that. And that's something we haven't mentioned, actually, that, you know, we had this pop-up radio station outside the front door. Every time you walked in and out, you could see what was going on. I questioned a little bit who the audience for that service was. You know, we in radio are very clear, right, this is our radio station, this is our brand, and this is our audience. I'm not sure who the audience was for Challenge Radio, because a lot of people in the industry were here already, and those who are back home are not going to necessarily listen all day to a radio station. They might follow what's going on online, but not necessarily going to listen to the service. So it was perhaps a bit of fun, a bit of a way of bringing different commercial groups and the BBC together to do something on air, which we perhaps should do more of as an industry. But whether it worked as a thing for the public out there, I'm not really sure. And talking about bringing the industry together, Richard Curtis today, how refreshing to hear him speak and so positive about what radio has done for Comic Relief and for charity over the years, and his idea to get everybody involved for Radio Everyone in 2015. And I hope all the groups and the BBC get behind that, because that would be amazing.
Yes, it was a fantastic end, wasn't it? There was a lot of warmth in the room, as they say. Some of the audio and video is going to be up on radioacademy.org, and thanks for following if you did on radiotoday.co.uk. Stuart Clarkson, David Lloyd, thanks for joining us. But David, don't go away, because I want you to be pre-recorded with lots of limiting.
Right.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Here I am with Radio Moments.
David Lloyd, Radio Moments.
Radio is great in a crisis, isn't it? And this week in 87...
In the Kent and South East London area, the line still closed between Deal and Dover Priory. There's a substitute bus service running there. The service from Thanet via Ashford is...
The 8 o'clock news, this is Douglas Cameron.
Torrential rain has brought floods to Wales and Cumbria as the south struggles to work amid the...
I drove in, and when we got to LBC, all the generators had gone. We couldn't broadcast. And finally, we rigged the radio car up, and all the politicians and the great and the mighty who were booked to appear crammed into this little radio car. You know the feeling you get when you sort of hunch yourself in there.
LBC's Douglas Cameron recalling this week 27 years ago. Sometimes radio makes its own stories. This week, 4 years ago, Chris Evans hit the headlines again as he suggested that Chris Moyles was too old for Radio 1 Breakfast.
I think that he's way out of the demographic already of the listenership.
He's out of the target listenership. I'm not sure he's actually out of the listenership.
Well, I remember when I was listening to Radio 1, I could never believe how old the breakfast DJ was compared to me. And I thought, this guy's too old to be my breakfast DJ. And they were about 28, 29 then.
Yeah.
But I also think he's got to leave sometime. So you've got to leave whilst there's some heat around.
Chris Evans speaking to Richard Bacon. Chris began his own breakfast show on Virgin this week 17 years ago.
The other great thing about working here is that there's a beautiful window here.
Yeah, the studio.
You can actually see that it's a beautiful day over London town. If you're listening in London, it's 105.8 FM. It's all crystal clear. Another great reason to move to London so you can hear us even in better.
And I think it's really important. I think it's a bit unfortunate that we're deprived of being able to reach bigger audiences because of the quality of our signals and the type of signals we have. And I think it's the last bastion of monopolisation.
It's 18 years now since Alan Freeman won an award for his outstanding contribution to the British music industry. The presentation happened at a glitzy trust dinner, and Tony Blackburn was there as he reflected on air the following day.
The place was absolutely packed. It was a night of nights to honour
One of the nicest men I've ever known. I've never heard anybody say anything against him. I've never heard him say anything against anybody else. That's the lovable thing about him. He's just Mr. Genuine, Mr. Lovable. And he was honoured last night at the Music Industry...
A fitting tribute to Fluff this week in 96. Chris Moyles...
I just have a feeling that you can be a bit of a wildcat.
...and Paul McKenna...
Wow, now there is real talent.
...were two of the alumni from this station, which launched this week in 81.
The Beach Boys and I Can Hear Music, the first record ever played right here on Children Radio. Good morning, it's 7 minutes past six. I'm Paul Holmes.
And welcome. I'm Tony Newman. Good morning.
And there is a good morning. You didn't get lost this morning.
No, I didn't, actually.
The early days of Chilton Radio from an old school in Dunstable 33 years ago. It's now Heart. Another station which is now Heart launched this week 28 years ago.
The chairman of Ocean Sound is Philip Pollock.
Good morning. For the very first time, this is Ocean Sound. From this moment on, today and every day, Ocean Sound is your radio station. We want to broadcast the best in entertainment. Music to brighten dark winter mornings and to relax you at the close of day.
Ocean Sound, launching this week on the South Coast in 86. It took over from the fallen Radio Victory franchise in Portsmouth. Drama and tragedy this week in 1940, a broadcasting house. A bomb crashed through a window on the seventh floor and came to rest two floors down in the music library. Seven people were killed.
The studio where I sat was well below ground, and the only damage it suffered was the dislodgement of some plaster and a quantity of soot, which temporarily obscured my script. I've frequently been accused of having made some audible comment at the time, the nature of which has varied in the reporting from the blasphemous to the obscene. I didn't. The voice which was heard was that of the duty officer in the corridor outside, who just said, "It's all right."
Bruce Belfridge reflecting on this week 74 years ago. Isn't it good to know that Capital is 41 this week?
Isn't it good to know Capital?
Capital's first voice on air, of course, in those heady early days of commercial radio was the much-loved Richard Attenborough.
I always remember getting on the air. We nearly didn't get on the air. I mean, the studios were being... The wiring was being finished through the night before we opened on that October morning at 5 a.m. And people were sleeping in camp beds, and had been for some weeks. The studios weren't completed at all. We opened marvellously, very successfully, but then we hit the three-day week and the miners' strike and so on, and obviously the economic situation in the country was very bad, and nobody wanted to spend money on advertising. And for quite a long time, not only did we not achieve the sort of listening figures that we required, but we just didn't earn the money, and... although one can say it now, one couldn't at the time, there were some weeks when, in fact, the viability of the whole operation was in question. We might have had to close down. We almost couldn't make ends meet.
Happy birthday, Capital, and farewell, Dick. The Smooth Network is now UK-wide, but this week, 13 years ago, its origins began as the first Saga station launched.
This is David Hamilton, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to a brand new station for the West Midlands, Saga 105.7 FM. We'll be playing melodic popular records from the 40s to the present day, and if that's your kind of music, then I'm sure this will be the
David Hamilton on Saga 105.7, the first Saga station, later to be rebranded Smooth. Radio brand licensing is now fairly common, but an early example began this week 20 years ago when KISS 102 took to the air.
KISS 102 means more music per minute than anywhere else. A Phil Collins free zone.
The KISS name was licensed to that Manchester station by EMAP. It later became Galaxy and now Capital. This week, 54 years ago, the Pye Company entered the campaign for commercial radio. It suggested 160 stations and even mocked up what they might sound like. I'd love to hear those tapes. Meanwhile, this week, 46 years ago, BBC local radio was a little further ahead. Experimental stations were on the air and Frank Gillard was pausing to reflect.
By this time next year, we shall be engaged in the business of evaluating for the Postmaster General the success that the stations have had in the period of their operation as experiments. And it's on the strength of the assessment that will be made next year that decisions will be taken whether to go ahead with a great expansion of local radio or whether to curtail the operation, perhaps even to cancel what's happened so far.
Frank Gillard. So with BRMB going 24 hours 38 years ago...
BRMB 24-hour news for the Midlands.
Wiltshire Radio launching 22 years ago...
Good morning to you and welcome to Wiltshire Radio WR on day one, and it's great to have the pleasure of your company.
Radio Tay on air 34 years ago...
It's the wish of all of us involved in Radio Tay that you will feel that Radio Tay is where it's at.
And a song banned from radio airplay reaching number one 45 years ago... Those are this week's Radio
Moments. Well, thank you again, David. High time we disappeared to edit the foregoing. I've been Trevor Down. This has been a TDC production from Radio Festival 2014 in Salford. Thanks to all our contributors, and thanks especially to you for listening. See you next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.